Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scott Jacobs Podcast. This is Scott Jacobs, your co-host. Today I was wanting to play a thing on the plan for crisis. Let's see what this cop has to say, and then we'll talk a little bit.
Intel, I'm keeping the mayor briefed on that as we speak. I will just say that it was clear to me, and also hearing from our local community leaders, that many of the people that were involved in the criminal conduct last night were not known Minneapolitans to them. And so, yes, there were certainly people who were involved in the activities last night that were certainly not recognized as being here from the city.
This is for everybody out there that's trying to use their brains, okay? Before it actually became a riot, the media was calling it a riot. Okay. You find that there are hundreds of people that are being arrested that have been bussed into Minnesota.
What's
they don't
new?
Even live there. The police commissioner actually said it. The mayor will tell you he don't care. You have 400 years of slavery. Go ahead and destroy everything going on around here. But let me tell you why he's saying that. Oh, these rules are devils. He's saying that because you're not riding on his block where his house is. That's why. It's because you are rioting in your own neighborhood and destroying your own neighborhood. All of those targets, I'm pretty sure, tons of black folks from that neighborhood work in that target, and now they're not going to have a job to go to either. With the pandemic already crippling economies and already hurting your area, they already knew this was going to make it worse for you. They're letting you destroy your own homes. And you're doing
think about it, guys.
And George Soros is sending people to help.
Listeners, there's something to think about.
Those cops will come for you if you're pulling that crap.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's all kinds of crazy things going on in the world today. You know, you got cops being crazy, there ain't no telling what you got. There's so much going on right now, it's unreal. But here's another one about the citizen lockdowns that I really think y'all would enjoy to hear. By Orion Sawyer.
So we'll be giving you updates on all of that. But I want to start out, of course, like I said, with what's going on in Minneapolis right now and actually across the nation. So this is my stack of news today for the coronavirus. Okay, folks, it's a very small and flimsy stack. Now, of course, we've been going so hard on coronavirus news for the past couple of months. It's been all that anyone has ever consumed. But my stack is very small. And let's go ahead and go to this quick clip right now and see why that is and what is going on in Minneapolis that is taking away from the huge story that is coronavirus and has been for the past couple of months. Let's go to that clip now.
Protests in Minneapolis on Wednesday erupted into violence and looting. It was the second day of rage over the police killing of a black man named George Floyd.
See? They're going to start a race war again is what's happening, guys. It's going to be Black Lives Matter all over again. And don't get me wrong, you know, I ain't got nothing against the black community. But this is what's getting ready to happen. They're going to turn us against each other, try to start a pandemic against each other. And if they succeed, we're over. You know, as the human beings, we need to come together. Guys, life is crazy right now. You know, you need to sit home, read your Bible. Don't go out. Go out unless you have to. I'm still doing that. You know, this coronavirus is bad as they say it is. In my town, there's 49 killed so far with that coronavirus. Supposedly. We don't know if that's accurate numbers, people. We can't believe anything the government tells us anymore. So how are we supposed to live? How are we supposed to go on and be happy? Knowing our government is fisting us in the ass every day. Pay attention, guys. Life is short. Don't sell yourself out to the evil ones.
Reminding us what a great job he's done with the rest of the government that wanted to make the VA better from one of the worst agencies to really turning it around in 3 years.
Family tells us on the last day of his life, Hager took a trip to the VA walk-in clinic to get help. But instead of seeing a counselor, Hager was told to simply give his guns to a family member and come back for a follow-up after more than a month.
He went home that night, shot himself in the head.
We unveiled indictments against 15 South Florida residents.
Why would he do this?
Those 15 residents were charged with fraud, kickback schemes, and corruption schemes, all carried out at the Veterans Affairs Medical Centers in Miami and here in West Palm Beach.
Dory Stafford says this letter, obtained by CBS News, shows how badly the VA claim system is broken. It's dated July 29th, 2014, thanking Dory's husband, Wayne, an Army veteran, for the disability claim he filed in July of 2004. That decade-long delay is just one problem. The other is that Wayne Stafford died in an accident 7 years ago without hearing a word from the VA. And now this, does this upset you?
Really?
It upsets me.
The epicenter of the scandal.
Phoenix, Arizona, where as many as 40 veterans died at this VA hospital while waiting up to 21 months to see a doctor.
This is the VA's new medical center, just east of Denver, a sprawling complex. Its ballooning costs have made it the most expensive ever. Design, construction, and management issues blew up the budget from $328 million in the initial prospectus in 2004 to almost $2 billion as of today. Its opening delayed repeatedly. Government documents reveal blatant mismanagement, showing the VA gave the contractor incomplete designs and never came close to one that could be built for the budgeted amount.
I've talked to a lot of vets. They say it's gone from nightmare to working pretty good. They can also see private doctors if the VA doesn't step up. I mean, this is one of our great accomplishments, getting Trump elected and people inside the VA working hard against the bureaucracy, because the globalists hate our vets. So Memorial Day coming up, I just want to talk about something positive Trump's done. Here he is.
We passed the largest reform of the Department of Veterans Affairs in the, I think, in the history of the department, including VA accountability. And I said VA choice. We've removed 8,500 VA workers who weren't doing their job, who were taking advantage of our country and hurting our vets. The percentage of veterans reporting they trust services.
Sorry, ladies.
Think of that.
Yeah,
they trust services, so they report. And they say they trust services has reached the highest in the history of the VA, Secretary. That's a big statement. So the percentage of veterans reporting that they trust the VA and the VA services is now the highest in the history of the service. Satisfaction with the VA outpatient care has reached 89%. And we're not going to rest until we have it at 100%.
Remember a year ago in Miami and places, they wouldn't take down Obama's picture.
Happy to be able to get these hung up. We always say in the Army, right? Nothing takes 5 minutes.
But shortly after those pictures were taken down, after they were put up, they were deemed inappropriate. You believe that?
Well, when I walked in the door, there was where the previous picture of Barack Obama was. There was just a blank wall.
Yeah.
And I was really kind of surprised. And I walked up to the information desk and I asked them, I said, well, what's going on? I said, well, where's the picture of the commander-in-chief? You know, and the guy kind of leans over to me like it was a secret or something. He said, well, he says, they're telling us that it was a typo. And I was like, what?
So years into Trump's presidency, the bureaucrats running it were so evil, they wouldn't even put in the president's picture. Well, they've had their asses fired. This is a model for the rest of the government.
All right, folks, so that was one of our great reports that you can find on band.video.
Yeah. Listen.
Now, we had to go to that report because everything that's going on with Minneapolis right now is so crazy, and there's so many different clips flying around and things going on that we just had to take a second to go ahead and get it all ready for you and all set out. Now, I wanted to start off with this clip because these riots, these protests, let's not even call them protests because they are currently riots. They've been going on for the past 2 days in Minneapolis and now in Los Angeles as well.
It's probably going to continue.
And I want to show the aftermath, what Minneapolis looked like this morning. So let's go ahead and just play clip 17 as B-roll while I talk about this. But this is what Minneapolis looks like this morning after two nights of rioting.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know you can't see it, but there's a lot of people
burning down low-income housing, trashing and vandalizing local small businesses.
I wish y'all could see what I'm seeing right now. It's unreal. What if that happened at home?
And of course, we know that this is all in response to the death of George Floyd.
Now, at all.
We've been playing that footage for you here on some of our other shows, and I remember watching this for the first time, and it was very hard to watch. I don't think I've seen one person on Twitter who said that he deserved to die or he did something to deserve that death at all. I think everyone's on the same page when they say that this police officer was definitely in the wrong here, and this was a senseless murder. And a lot of people are pro-protest, but the rioting that's been going on for the past 2 days is so counterproductive to George Floyd, to his memory, to what people need to do to stand up for justice for him. And I've been talking to various people as well, and a lot of them have said, you know, even looking at this clip, this isn't a racial issue. Because police brutality is something that expands into all races, whether you're white, black, Hispanic, Asian. Police brutality is not something that's just focused on one specific race. But what I've seen over the past couple of days on Twitter, in our own media, is, of course, them using this as another way to further divide us and to further incite this race war in our country. Now, at the beginning of the show, I had held up my stack of coronavirus news. I don't know where it went. I think it's like, it's right there. But it was very, it's very small. It's very small. And I just thought it was kind of funny because, you know, over the past couple of months, we've been so consumed with this coronavirus news. Every single time you turn on the TV, the ads are about coronavirus. Every single time you turn on Netflix, the top-rated documentary that's being recommended to you is about the coronavirus. And we're now seeing this shift to where that news is dying down. And where I have been seeing in the past couple of weeks is this big incitement of race war. Think about it. Ahmaud Arbery happened. We had Sean Reed. That story didn't get as big, but I have seen his name on some of the protest signs in Minneapolis, in LA. We had Breonna Taylor in the news as well, who was killed by police. We've seen the Central Park video where a white woman and a black man were fighting with each other, and it became this huge racial issue. We saw Jimmy Fallon getting canceled for blackface, and now we're seeing George Floyd and these riots going on. And it's been very telling to see how we are now shifting away from the coronavirus news, and it's now all being geared towards dividing our country further, especially now that it's 2020 and we are in an election year. Someone the other day made a good point that, you know, every single election year, it seems that racial tensions seem to rise and rise. And just from what I've seen over the past 3 weeks, that seems to be the case. Race war is a big thing that's going on here. And in this next segment, we'll go through all of the videos that we compiled for you on what's been going on in the past 2 days. And also how people have been continuing to push this and tug on everyone's heartstrings to further divide our country. So I was scrolling through Twitter last night, and I was up until 3 a.m. just monitoring this whole entire situation. And like I had previously said to you, too, we had people going into Targets, and we can play all the B-roll compilations as well, y'all, of people going into the Minneapolis Target and breaking ATM machines, running out with lamps and with just all of this stuff from Target. And I actually, okay, you know what, y'all, I think that Trump is now talking about, can we go to that, guys? Yes or no? No audio yet on the Trump clip. Okay, so let's just keep that down and then put that back up for me whenever we have audio, and I'll go ahead and pitch to it. So anyways, getting back to Minneapolis again, we have all of these people who are leaving Target en masse with giant HD TVs, with everything that the store had to offer. They were breaking the cash registers. It was complete chaos. They went and they burned down an AutoZone. It was madness. And a lot of people were saying, you know, these were the Black Lives Matter groups. These were Antifa that were doing this. Apparently, a suspected looter was also shot yesterday because a pawn shop owner was trying to protect his business. And he is now being charged with alleged murder. So that's what's going on. And that's the scene for all of that. And I'm really excited that we have Bryson Gray coming up because, like I said, this is just such a big topic with so many different angles to it as well, and it will be great to get him on and to get his perspective on this as a Black American, and, you know, in response to George Floyd's death as well, what he thought about it. But going back to the racial divide that we constantly see, especially during election year, these are a couple of the tweets that I saw over the past 2 days, and it started off with this one. It says, no one ever seems to have tear gas when heavily armed white men show up at government buildings. And the tweet has four pictures, one of a police officer throwing tear gas, another of people in the tear gas, they're pouring milk on each other's faces, and they just look distressed. And it's these protesters who were out here for George Floyd. Now, we see what they're trying to do here. They're already trying to compare these protests to the protests in Richmond, Virginia earlier this year. And they're trying to say, well, if these were white men that were protesting, the police wouldn't respond in the same way. The police wouldn't be spraying pepper balls. The police wouldn't be using tear gas. The police wouldn't be using rubber bullets. Look at the difference in the way the police handle these situations.
Even further,
this tweet by Bishop Talbert Swan was going viral all day yesterday, and it said, here is Derek Chauvin, the racist cop who kept his knee on George Floyd's neck, cut off his air passage, and murdered him, wearing a Make Whites Great Again hat. A clear sign that this piece of excrement should have been taken off the streets a long time ago. And on the left side, we have the cop who was kneeling on George Floyd's neck, ended up killing him. And then on the right, we have a man wearing a Make Whites Great Again hat, similar to the Make America Great Again hat. Now, do you see what people are trying to do here, folks? They're trying to take this situation and use whatever they can to try to link it back to President Trump, link it back to white people, and make them look like the bad people. And going back to the comparison of the riots going on in Minneapolis right now to the protests in Richmond, those protests, the reason why the police did not need to use tear gas, the reason why the police did not need to use rubber bullets to disperse the crowds is because it was peaceful. And also, it wasn't just made up of white men. There were Mexican people there. There were black people there. There were so many different people there to stand up for their Second Amendment rights. So the fact that here, again, it's just white people this, white people that, that in itself is false. And then the fact that they're trying to make this false equivalency to the riots currently going on in Minneapolis to what happened in Richmond, Virginia, is just another example of how we are further pushing a race war and division in our country. And it was actually very interesting because, yes, Twitter did start using their fact check. And on this tweet, because it went viral for half the day, they had to put this link on the bottom. And it said manipulated media, and you could click to it, and it was actually not the cop. This is not the cop in this picture wearing this Make America Great Again hat, or Make Whites Great Again hat. Thank you to the crew for pointing that out for me. I totally forgot to make that point, that this tweet was going viral all day long, and it wasn't even correct. Those are not even the same people. So that's an example of how social media is handling this. And then we're going back to real life, and let's just read off some of these headlines of what's been going on the streets. Apparently, rioters are now demanding that we shoot the white folks. The fires were so bad that they showed up on air quality maps. Again, low-income housing is being burned down, and we should have a clip of that. We can roll that as B-roll, but this is low-income housing, folks. This is a low-income neighborhood, and a lot of people were really upset because these housing developments were made for, you know, the low-income community, and then these black small business owners as well are being targeted right now for these riots because of the debt.
So, guys, it goes on and on and on. It's endless. The news just keeps getting bigger and bigger. You know, her show could go on and on. But I gotta end my show. Thank you guys for listening.